Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. As we've been working our way through 1 Samuel, I've told you to get ready. We're going to have a long reading. And today, I'm going to tell you, don't worry about it. We're only reading one verse. 1 Samuel 25, 1. Very short reading, and yet pregnant with important truth for us to learn. It's also very relevant to our lives, even the life of our own congregation, as our sister Joyce just prayed about mourning the loss of what was effectively a family member, Gail. And then while they were, the Cito family, away this past weekend in New York, another important person to their family died, the wife of the pastor at their church in New York. They're going to another funeral very soon. This passage today is about how Israel mourned, and we're going to think about mourning ourselves as Christians today. And I know it's not just the Cedos. I know that in some of your lives, there's reason for mourning. It may not have been death, but real loss. You're mourning in relationship, whether it be in your family or friends. And there's others of you, I have no idea. Many of us have no idea the loss that you're experiencing right now, the difficulties, the losses, the sorts of death that you're experiencing. It's important for us to see that the scriptures don't tell you to be a stoic about it, but to feel it, to experience it, to mourn it rightly. And we're going to look at this from a bunch of different angles. But before we do, let's hear from the Word of God. This is the Word of the living God. It is the sword of the Spirit. 1 Samuel 25, 1. Now, Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him in his house at Ramah. And then David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you. It's so easily we could just read right past a verse like this and not gain what you would have us gain from it. So, O Spirit of Christ, work in us mightily. Take this truth and free us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Over a decade ago now, I went on a mission trip to Russia, and I was in Moscow for a little while. And as often happens on mission trips, we do some sightseeing, and we went into the city of Moscow and to the Kremlin, which is the government center of Russia. And it's surrounded by a wall. The Kremlin is surrounded by a wall where all the politicians are in there and military leaders and figuring things out and so on. And just outside of that wall is this huge building, and it has steps, and you go up, and at the very top, if you were to go up those steps and walk inside, you can see the dead yet preserved body of Lenin. Lenin, the communist leader of Russia. He died, it was 1924, they put his preserved body in this mausoleum with huge letters on the side of it, Lenin in Russia. So that generation after generation of Russians would go, and when they're in the capital city, they can go and mourn the death of Lenin. But Lenin is not worthy of being mourned like this. Some are worthy of being mourned in this way. Lenin, no. Lenin was an atheist. He promoted atheism. He persecuted people who believed in Christ. He was a harsh, mean, and murderous man. He doesn't deserve to be mourned generation after generation. But there are people who do deserve to be mourned. And we should mourn them at the loss of them. And when we should do it for the glory of God. So today we're going to consider this passage about mourning significant loss, and especially mourning the significant loss of those who are worthy of being mourned. But we're going to look at it from a couple different angles that this passage provides. First of all, we can actually live lives that are worthy of being mourned. Not that we live our lives to be mourned, but we can live lives worthy of being mourned. Secondly, we should mourn the lives of those who are worthy of mourning. And also, we should mourn with hope in Christ, the victorious King. So first of all, we can live lives worthy of mourning. That's what we see in verse 1 about Samuel. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled. It's not a small thing. All Israel assembled. Saul showed up. David showed up. I remember when my grandmother died, and my Uncle Johnny and my Uncle Peter showed up to the funeral. There was a point in their lives where one had hit the other with a chair. Okay, they didn't get along, but they both showed up for the funeral. Here you've got Saul, who's constantly seeking to kill David. But they both show up because Samuel died. He was a man who promoted the glory of God amongst the people. He lived his life to glorify God, to bless the people as a priest, as a prophet, as a judge. He was a man worthy of mourning. He contributed with his life to the people of God and to their mission, which is to even be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Now, he was not a perfect person. He wasn't. Back in chapter 8, if we look, he was appointing his own sons to be judges. It was not something really that he was called to. God was the one who would call a judge to be a judge. And the sons that he was promoting to judgeship, they weren't even the kind of men you ought to do that. They were actually doing bad things. He wasn't a perfect father, in other words. He wasn't a perfect judge. But none of us are perfect. I mean, really, we're all, as it says in Psalm 51, because of what happened with Adam, born in sin, born with the heart disease of sin. None of us are perfect. But we can still, like Samuel, live lives that so contribute to the people of God, to God's mission through God's people, and to be worthy of mourning at our death. Now, we don't seek to live our lives to be mourned when we die. We don't constantly imagine our funeral and think about everybody crying, and that is the motivation to live. No, our motivation is to live in response to God's grace to us. God, who sent his Son to die for us and give us all things in this free grace, we live our lives as a thankful response to him and for his glory and for the enjoyment of him. But as we do that, we end up living lives that are worthy of being mourned. You know, think about Jaden Daniels, JD5. Anybody here a Commanders fan? You still should be a Commanders fan even though they're playing terribly, okay? And I'm not saying from the pulpit that you should be Commanders fans. The Bible doesn't say that, but... But Jaden Daniels is a great player. And he's gotten hurt again and again. And he's out of the game. And not all Israel, but all of Washington, D.C. is mourning that loss, right? Now, he doesn't play the game of football in order to have everybody feel bad when he gets hurt. That's silly, right? What he does is he plays to win, and he plays to make his other players better. And in doing that, when he gets hurt, everyone's like, man, that's a loss right there. If we don't have Jaden Daniels this week, gosh. We should be living our lives in such a way for the team that when we die, and we all will, unless Jesus returns before we die, people around are like, that's a loss. That's a loss. We need to get together and remember Gail, because that was a loss. That sister, She was always inviting people to church and bring people along, going to play pickleball and inviting people to come to church all the time. You know, it's a good woman. That's a real loss. That should be the outflow of our lives. So you can ask yourself, you know, am I living my life today in such a way that it's really benefiting the team? And have you come to understand what team you're on? Are you still straddling the fence thinking you're kind of on that team and you're kind of on this team? You can't do it. You're either with God or against Him. Make that decision and start contributing to the team you're on. I don't want you to go throw in with the world, but make the decision. And if you're with us, then let's play. And let's play well. Now, ask yourself, how can I contribute to this team today? That might be a question you ask yourself, but it doesn't mean like you never get any rest. Part of contributing to the team in such a way that people will feel the loss when you're gone means getting good rest. Sometimes that means playing a video game. Play a video game. But don't make your whole life about playing video games. Get the rest you need so that you can contribute the best you can with this short life that you have. The next point is that we should mourn for people worthy of mourning. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. He was worthy of being mourned, and so people did. And the key word here is mourned, crying, feeling sad. Again, the Bible is not promoting what you could call stoicism. This is like ancient philosophy in Greek, in Greece, where you just kind of don't feel. It's like that part of yourself, the emotional self, it's like, nope, that's bad. Emotion, bad. Thinking, good. Willing, good. Doing, good. So I'm just a thinking and doing person, but not a feeling person. There's reasons people come to these conclusions. It's hard to feel sad. It's hard to feel guilt. It's hard to feel shame. It's hard to feel fear. Sometimes it's hard, it's scary to feel anger. But God made us this way. Our emotions are good things. And they can be used the wrong way, but they can also be used the right way, honorable, and in dignified ways. And one of the ways that God calls us to do it, as we see here, is to mourn the loss of significant people. You know, if you lose somebody significant in your life, even if they're not a Christian, you could get the wrong impression today that the only people worthy of being mourned are those who are Christians who contributed to the good of the church. Listen, you've heard, I think, about common grace. God shows and gives grace to people across the world commonly so that He upholds good things, virtues, even in those who do not trust in Jesus. Maybe you know somebody like that in your family who was good to you. Maybe they treated you well as a child and one day they died. You know, you can mourn over them, and you ought to mourn over the loss of that person in your life. Of course, as well, for those Christians in our lives who have done significant and good things to us and for the people of God and for God's glory. But we should also mourn the loss of other things. Maybe the loss of some kind of innocence that was taken from you as a child, wrongfully. Maybe the loss of a relationship, a friendship that you still wanted, but it's gone. Maybe the loss of years because you squandered them with something else. Maybe the loss of years of what could have been a happier relationship, but hasn't been so happy. These things are worthy of being mourned too. And it's good for us to do it. It's actually good for us to do it. Israel is presented as doing a good thing when they mourned the loss of Samuel. For some of us, this is easy. You're like, yeah, no, I do that. For others of us, it's harder. And for some of us, we need to rein it in a little bit, right? So you can mourn, but you can actually over-mourn. And for others of us, we need to open ourselves up to feeling sad at all. There's a healing in the sadness. God uses it as we depend upon Him. So I encourage you to take those words into consideration, but at the same time, I want you to note something else about this passage. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Then David rose. It's not all over. The story is not over. Even in the darkness of Samuel's death, God is bringing about light. The kingdom of Saul, the wicked kingdom of Saul, is being brought down, and the righteous kingdom of David is arising. Even though Samuel's not here, David still is. And God is bringing David's good kingdom into the world. When we face significant loss in life, yes, we need to mourn it, but we also need to be able to look around and see what good things God is doing as well. One of the dangers with mourning is we can overdo it by not also at the same time noting the things to be thankful for. It's a balance. It's not only noting and doing kind of your thankful and gratitude lists when you wake up. God, I'm thankful for my coffee. I'm thankful for the sun in the sky. I'm thankful for my daughters. But it's also, God, it's hard to be 45, almost 46, and my body's not responding the same way. It's a both and. They're always there. And some of us need to find the space to be thankful in the midst of the suffering, but others of us need to find the space to mourn the difficulties, because that's reality. God wants us to feel it, work through it. He'll use that to heal us. But David himself, sadly, eventually dies. But of course, as Christians, the Son of David came. God the Son became man according to God's eternal plan, so that He might live the life that we could not live, die the death that we deserve to die, be buried, be mourned, and on the third day, surprise Mary in the garden. She said, Lord, who she thought was a gardener, where have you put him? Where have you put the body? It's not in the grave. Somebody else has taken it or stolen it. And all of a sudden, through her tears, Jesus reveals, Mary, it's me. Rabboni! Rabbi, says Mary. You're alive. As we go through our lives, facing the suffering of loss, we never have to do it without hope. Because Jesus Christ is alive, and He is our victorious King. He has killed death. In His death, He defeated death. And He has brought eternal life to us, given it to us as a gift by faith. So even as we walk through this veil of tears and walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are comforted, for He is with us, the One who is victorious over death. And we never need mourn without hope. We never need mourn without light. He keeps every one of our tears that we shed, as it says in Psalm 56, in a bottle. He knows every single one of them. And He will wipe away every tear when He returns. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray in His name. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us, O Lord, we who are imperfect, to live our lives in such a way that people will feel the loss at our death. Help us live our lives in which we honor every part of our lives with appropriate emotion. And Lord, let us do it all with the hope that comes from being united to our resurrected Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.